Twin brothers from the Twin Cities talking twins.
How do I unblack it now? Talk to
contact. Twin brothers from the Twin Cities talking twins baseball talk to contact.
All right, so we got 53 minutes of gold.
The show that bids you can lose. Talking twin brothers from the Twin Cities, twins baseball talk to contact. Twin brothers from the Twin Cities, twins baseball talk.
You're listening to the Talk to Contact podcast. I'm the Baseball Pirate, joined here once again by my good friends Jake Horn and Cody Christie. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show.
Good evening.
Hello, world.
Yes, and also good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Right. Yes, all that as well.
So here we are once again. This will be probably our last show before opening day. It's kind of exciting. It's April. The calendar has turned. The roster is all but set. Pretty exciting. It's the most exciting time of the year since it was last year.
Yeah, you know, you got to love, you know, there's hope around every team. I mean, even though some teams that have been marred in losing seasons here for multiple years, you can still hope that, you know, that your team, you know, strings some things together and some players play well and you find yourself in contention even when you weren't supposed to be in contention. And everybody kind of, you know, getting back out, getting down to some games at Target Field, being outside, watching the guys take the field in those new home whites with the Casota gold, and we'll see. Maybe the switch in jerseys will bring a little magic.
I think I'm going to go buy myself a Casota gold new version Twins home jersey this week, next week, and I think I'm going to buy a Brian Dozier one. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's probably your best move. You'll be able to wear it for at least 4 years.
Yeah, that's my thinking. You know, something a little different rather than like Mauer or, you know, I was going to get maybe like a Santana, but there's lots of Santanas. It's like, which Santana if you don't know the number, you know? So I thought Dozier, the number two, be kind of cool. So I think that's what I'm going to go with.
I think your best bet is probably to buy a Byron Buxton jersey.
Yes. Pre-buy.
Yeah,
Byron pre-buy. Buxton.
Yeah.
Or Sano if you're into mash and taters.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm real stoked for – I'm excited to see the Cardinals and Cubs play on Sunday night. That'll be good. You know, the whole country will be watching. I love those kinds of games.
Everyone will be watching except the guys in the bleachers.
Yeah.
They won't be done.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
That is a hot mess down. Who, you know, didn't Major League Baseball understood that the Cubs were doing this, right? So, like, why would you give them that game is my thought process in all of this.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I think last year would have been a better idea with the 100th anniversary of Wrigley Field. Would have been a great time to open the season in Chicago before they went into these renovations. I mean, there's going to be no right center or left field bleachers. I think the first set of bleachers is set to go in May, and then the last one in June. So, I mean, we're talking 6 to 8 weeks of baseball in Chicago at Wrigley Field without all of the seats in place.
It's going to be weird to see. I mean, I haven't even seen any photos or anything of it.
It looks ridiculous. Yeah. It looks ridiculous. It looks like an old-timey stadium. Like, if you look at pictures of the old Met, you know, where the outfields don't connect to one another. It's not a giant grandstand. They're just like a big hole. It's terrible.
I wonder how much money they're losing in ticket sales.
Yeah, I mean, especially at the beginning of the season when you'd think that they would be selling, you know, higher volumes.
Chris Bryan isn't up, so fans would be protesting anyway, right?
Yeah, well, I think that also most of the time Cubs fans are too dumb to know what's going on. They go to the game and just get drunk, drinking that old style and getting hammed.
Cubs fans are too dumb to know what's going on. Wow.
It's true. People don't go to Cubs games because they like baseball. They go to Cubs games because it's the thing to do and they want to be cool in Chicago.
Well, it'll certainly be the place to be on Sunday night, that's for sure. So I'm looking forward to that game, and then I'm looking forward to a full slate of games on Monday. I'm thinking I'm probably not going to be able to take it off this year. Usually I take opening day off and sit home and watch baseball all day, but probably won't be able to do that this year, but I'll be interested to follow everything on Twitter and on Gamecast and all that stuff. I'll be keeping a close eye.
And so the Twins this season will be opening the season in Detroit.
Early.
And they've started kind of whittling their roster down. I think we saw this last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, because I think we talked last week about Hicks and May getting sent down. Caleb Thielbar got optioned down to AAA, and I think that pretty much cements the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Malone inexplicably being awarded the fifth starter spot.
Even though he didn't, he probably, out of the guys in line for that spot, probably pitched the worst in spring training, wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah,
I would agree. I thought that May, Pelfrey, and Malone, I think they were all like fairly close. Malone was, I think, the worst, but I feel like it was probably Trevor May's job going into the last start he made in big league camp, and somehow the Twins were like, you know what, this one start is worth all the marbles, and he didn't perform well. They sent him to AAA for Tommy Malone to get the job.
Yeah. So if fans aren't aware, then that means the rotation is set up to be Hughes, Santana, Gibson, Nolasco, and Malone. Which then leaves the bullpen to be comprised of some interesting pieces, I think, just because they went more veteran than they did, like, for a younger core of players. But we have Blaine Boyer, who's new this year, Brian Dunsing, Casey Fien, J.R. Graham, who was the Twins' Rule 5 pick. So he has to stay with the club for the whole year or be offered back to Atlanta. And then Pelfrey's out in the pen, Glenn Perkins, obviously, and then Tim Stauffer is the last piece out there. So that's our 12 pitchers. And there's a little bit of question as far as going into if Josemil Pinto will be ready for opening day is kind of one of the biggest question marks right now as a piece that they need to know. Just with that, we talked last week about Adam Jones hit him like three different times in at bat with his long backswing. He's been back. Pinto has been back playing in some minor league action, has been doing fine with that, but could still end up maybe starting on that 7-day concussion DL until he's all the way back.
Yeah, and I think for me the most exciting thing right now is the Twins' active roster is at 26. Because they've got both Chris Herman and Eduardo Nunez on the roster, in addition to Jordan Schaefer and Shane Robinson are going to be platooning out in center field. And so I think that there's an outside chance that the Twins could go north with both Chris Herman and Josemil Pinto behind the dish to back up Kurt Suzuki, and Eduardo Nunez could be the odd man out, and that would make me really happy.
Isn't he one of the guys that doesn't have any options left, too? So.
He has no options, and likely the Twins would have to, I believe, pay him money to go away. I mean, they'd have to, because he reached arbitration. I mean, it's not a financial deal, but I mean, I think it makes baseball sense to get rid of Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a little bit and just, just catching up in the last day or two, and I think that seems to be the way I would be leaning toward predicting they go.
I mean, I don't even see it. I mean, maybe they should just release him outright. I mean, maybe you keep him down there in case somebody gets hurt? I don't know. What's the upside in Eduardo Nunez? I've been asking that question all offseason.
Seth Stowe's just asked on Twitter, what about if the Twins send Vargas to Rochester and keep Pinto, Herman, and Nunez?
I guess it's possible. I guess it's possible.
No, thank you.
I mean, what is the value that Nunez provides?
And I don't think Vargas gains anything by starting the year at AAA. I mean, I think he's going to be most benefiting to start with the big league club.
Yeah, we saw last year that he can handle big league pitching. I mean, he needs to work on his control of the strike zone, learn how to take a few more walks, not strike out so much. But, I mean, I think the best place to learn how to do that against major league quality pitching is in the major leagues.
Yeah, I could see a situation where I feel like at some point this year he'll probably end up back in Rochester. I just don't know if the way that things are shaking out, if the beginning of the year would be the right time for that. The nice thing is, season, some of the more seasoned pitchers are at that level. So he would be facing, you know, higher caliber pitchers than later in the year after guys get moved up to the major league roster and guys shuffle in from the lower levels of the minors to AAA. So I could see in that situation maybe they're thinking along those lines. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys that it would be nice to see Vargas hitting near the middle of that lineup for the beginning of the season here.
The only thing that concerns me about Vargas is we haven't really seen him play in extended cold weather. And, I mean, it's going to be cold here the first couple weeks. You know, he came up later in the season last year, so we really haven't seen how he reacts to cold weather. So that'll be one thing to keep an eye on.
Well, I think he played in Beloit. Doesn't get much colder than Beloit, Wisconsin.
Yeah, but, I mean, they start their season way later. You know better than anybody that April and May make a big difference.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, Wisconsin is a cold, dreadful, dreary place. And if you can play there, you can play anywhere.
You know what? Just hold on a second here, all right? You've already bashed the Cubs, now Cubs fans. Now you're bashing Wisconsin. What's going on?
Yeah, how about Iowa? I mean, Iowa just stands for idiots out walking around.
The year he played in Beloit, do you want to know when he debuted? Yes. End of July.
Oh, so, my.
He was not playing in any cold weather there in Beloit in 2012. I don't know New Britain. He was there last year at the beginning of the season. So, I mean, it can be a little brisk in New Britain. And there he started at the beginning of the year. And through the first 15 games, he hit... that was a fun noise. Through the first 15 games when it was cold, he hit .214, .297, .339 with two home runs and a double. So batting average wasn't all that great during that cold weather time.
Well, his batting average isn't all that great anyway. He's up here to mash taters.
Well, you know, I mean, you got to also think that he's going to be spending most of his time on the bench. I mean, we're assuming that he's going to spend a lot of time DHing. So, you know, you warm up, you cool down, you come up to hit. So Vargas could be in for some turbulence here at the beginning of the year.
What do you guys think?
He can hide down in the batting cages.
What do you guys think about the Twins' decision to send Aaron Hicks down and open the season with a platoon in center field of Jordan Schaefer and Shane Robinson?
I'm worried. I guess I'm not worried, but I have a sneaking suspicion that we may never see Aaron Hicks at the major league level in a Twins uniform again. I could be wrong, but something just tells me that.
I really hope that you're wrong, but the longer and longer the Aaron Hicks episodes continue to go on, the more and more I start to lose just a little bit of faith that Aaron Hicks will ever put it together, at least with the Twins. I mean, we see Joe Benson looks to have finally earned a spot with the Braves. But that could be more due to the fact that they've got nothing in the cupboards than the fact that he's finally put those tools together.
What do you think, Cody?
I think we'll see him again at some point this season. I think the Twins are going to want to give him another more extended look now that he's, I mean, a little bit older. I mean, really, one of the biggest things is they've been questioning, you know, his maturity, his mental makeup. And I mean, he's still young enough, and they have enough invested in him with that first round pick that, I mean, he's only going to be 25 this year. We've seen, you know, someone like Brian Dozier didn't really, you know, break out at the major league level until he was 25, 26 years old. Hicks has only got, I mean, he's got 150 games at the big league level, and I mean, not all of those starting either. So I'm not ready to give up on him yet, I guess. I would just like to see a little bit more extended time with him. But I do see a scenario where, you know, entering next year that he might not be part of the long-term plans. I mean, he isn't really even ready right now. So maybe it's a situation where sometime this year they decide to part ways, or even, you know, in the off season say, hey, let's get him to another organization. Maybe they can work with him and he can still create something out of his professional career.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of time left between today and the day when Byron Buxton inherits the center field throne for hopefully the next decade plus. So at that point, Aaron Hicks is going to need to find his way into a platoon somewhere or be a bench bat. And he hasn't shown that he's got the offensive chops to really be a bench bat at this point. So except from the fact that he can hit lefties a little bit, and maybe I would say he's probably maybe a better platoon partner than Shane Robinson. So I was a little surprised there. But maybe they just want him to keep getting those reps every day because, like Cody said, they have a lot invested in him. He's only 25, and he could still figure it out.
What's his option situation? How does that all work with him?
I believe this is his last option.
Right.
So next season, they will either have to roster him.
Keep him.
Or expose him to waivers.
Now, if they do call him up this year, they couldn't send him down again. Is that correct, too?
No.
No.
That's it.
You can, once you've been optioned once, you can be sent back and forth 100 times in the same season. Doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you have three option years.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Twins outfield, Paul, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the spring training Torrey Hunter had. In the limited game action I did see, it seemed like he was very active. He was scoring runs. He was blooping in singles, playing a decent outfield. Surprised at Torrey Hunter's spring or no?
No, it's the spring. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. He doesn't look as statuesque as I had expected out in the corner outfield there, but I don't know. I mean, I watched him play last year and it was awful, and I expect him to regress some from that. So I just hope that he can continue to be better than league average offensively. Otherwise, it's going to be a long season for $10.5 million.
Where do you see him hitting in the lineup? Do we have a final outline, at least, of an opening day batting order, and where does Torrey fit in there?
Oh, boy. I don't even... I think
five-ish?
Yeah, four or five. I think there's been some talk that he could be a number four guy. I think Molitor was quoted as saying earlier this week, I like the experience Torrey has. He's not a prototypical number four hitter. But I know the numbers he has, I know what numbers he was able to produce in the role he served the Tigers in. I know he was in the two hole most of the year and had a productive year. So I don't know, but it looks like he's been using Torrey in the number four spot with Vargas behind him, followed by Plouffe, Arcia, Suzuki, and Jordan Schaefer.
And it also sounds like he's open to having Plouffe, also bat in that cleanup spot. So they might rotate and play, you know, look at some of the numbers and see, they might flip flop here or there, depending on who's swinging the hot bat at the time. But yeah, I mean, Molitor knows that Hunter, I mean, isn't your prototypical like number four hitter, but he likes having the experience that Torrey brings to that spot. And I mean, he's in the twilight of his career here. He's kind of reinvented himself at the plate and put up some halfway decent numbers offensively after, you know, one of those last years in Los Angeles was a little down for him. Go ahead.
I think that with Danny Santana, Brian Dozier, and Joe Mauer at the top of the lineup, I think that the 3-4 or, you know, 4-5-6 there, I mean, I'm not too concerned about what order they're in. I think it would have been exciting if we had heard that Danny Santana would be followed by Joe Mauer and Brian Dozier would be in that 5 or 6 slot. I think that could have been an interesting discussion, but I think whether Hunter is in the 4 or the 5 spot, I mean, that's going to be, what, maybe like 9 at-bats over the course of a season difference.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what we expect from the lineup, but I think that this team, both in the bullpen and offensively, that there's going to be a lot of movement within this roster. I feel like the Twins have a lot of talent at AAA right now and at the AA level even, and that any prolonged slumping from guys that aren't making seven-figure contracts could see themselves moving up and around from AAA to the major leagues back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, especially like we talked about the number five, some of those bullpen slots, the catcher situation. So those periphery positions, I can certainly see that happening.
I mean, how long of a leash does Blaine Boyer have?
Right. I mean, how long does Tommy Malone have?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing that last year I don't understand how long the Twins kept Jared Burton, who was recently released by the Yankees and is now in their minor league camp. So I feel like the Twins have too many options at AAA that are probably ready to come up, that I would argue are ready to come up, that should be up already, that you're taking a flyer on Blaine Boyer, and if it works out, fantastic. He's a great story. But I feel like the best-case scenario is these guys fail and you get these young guys up here to take their licks in a season that's probably not going to be very successful.
How do you guys feel about guys like Ryan Pressly, Michael Tonkin, these guys that are on the 25-man roster in their early or mid-20s, I guess, not getting spots over guys, you know, we saw Tim Stauffer get a spot and Blaine Boyer, guys that don't, I don't know. I feel like some of the younger guys have at least the potential to have some more upside than the guy. They seem to be going with this veteran presence over this maybe younger movement that we need to see. Do you guys have issue with that or not really? Or
no, I don't, because I think they're a team looking for a pennant. How you like that? Wait till we get to our predictions. That's a little spoiler for
you. I think it's craziness, and I think the Tim Stauffer deal was probably one of the more unexpected moves I saw the Twins make this offseason. Because I agree with you 100%, Cody. The guys you're bringing in have less upside than the guys you already have. So what's the point of going out and spending multi-millions on a guy when you've got a guy in the minor leagues who has already proven he's ready to have that shot, and he'll play for the league minimum? What's the point of bringing in Tim Stauffer? What's the point of offering Tommy Malone arbitration? Maybe that's going too far, but Eduardo Nunez. It all comes back to Eduardo Nunez.
Well, Nunez aside, I would hope that Molitor wants to put the best possible baseball team on the field for opening day that he believes he can. And for one reason or another, Trevor May and Aaron Hicks and some of these other guys just aren't a part of that. Are we going to see him? Sure. Are we going to see him soon? Probably. But 0-0 on opening day, like we were talking about before, you want the best possible major league team you can put out there, and I think that's what Molitor did.
Well, I would not agree with that. I don't think he's got the best 25-man roster for 2015. I think that you could maybe argue he's doing the best that he can do while also hanging on to guys for future value as well. Trevor May, if you want the best team you can have in 2015, you take Trevor May, Alex Meyer, you stick him in the bullpen, and you eat the contract to Stauffer and Pelfrey. I mean, they're not going all in for 2015, and smartly so, because I don't think that outside of a snowball's chance in HE double hockey sticks that this is going to materialize into a pennant run. But there's a lot of decisions the Twins made in the last week that I just can't get on board with. I mean, I thought Caleb Thielbar definitely deserved to be in the pen, and he gets squeezed out.
I feel like he was probably the last guy out, too. I feel like Thielbar was on the bubble the entire spring.
And they had to keep, you know, they want to get some run out of Pelfrey and the money they owe him. They had to keep J.R. Graham because of the Rule 5 stipulation. And so, I mean, they're keeping the guys they have to keep around to get some value out of them.
Any other surprises that, we talked about a lot of them, so there's probably not, but any other moves made that maybe we didn't see, surprised, opposition to any of the above?
I think we've hit on everything that was fairly confusing to me. I think
The only last thing I was going to bring up was Kyle Gibson's bump up to number three. I think most of us saw him as the number four starter behind Nolasco. That shuffled a little bit. Did you guys see that? What do you think of that move?
I didn't see that, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think it really matters what position, order they're pitching in. If they can just, what matters is can they stay healthy and pitch, give us 33 starts.
Yeah,
I think it does send a message. I think it sends a message from Molitor that he's got confidence in Gibson. Gibson's earned it. He liked what he saw for whatever reason. I mean, aside from being the number one, moving from four to three is kind. I don't know. It's noticeable anyway. Is all I'm saying.
Not on this staff.
I know. I mean, I disagree. Hughes and Santana. I mean, those are clearly the top two. So I mean. It seems to me like there was a position battle for the number three and Gibson won.
Okay. I think that's a made-up battle.
I think, too, they might have looked at, you know, where they were going to be pitching and who they were going to be pitching against in the beginning part of the year. Maybe they liked Gibson better against Detroit than starting that opener in front of maybe a bigger crowd in Chicago, and letting Nolasco handle that one. So they might have been looking at that too, as to how their games were going to line up for the first couple weeks.
Yeah, that's possible. Go with that.
And Kyle Gibson was pulled, I think, from his last spring start with flu symptoms. I think we've seen this all spring training long. Twins players been down with the flu. We had four or five guys out at the beginning of spring training, and just guys have been just going down, up and down with illness going through the clubhouse.
Well, hopefully it gets out.
They're getting down with the sickness.
Yeah, they're getting down with the sickness, and hopefully this is a spring training thing. I mean, I'd rather have it happen now or, you know, last week than next week.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, and I think this is just one of the consequences when you have guys that are from all over, not only just all over the nation, but all over the globe, and they all get together and bring their own unique germs and cold strands, and they all get together and have a party, and everybody gets everyone else's germs, and hopefully, you know, that's what spring training's for.
I don't know what kind of party you're talking about, but whatever you say.
It's a germ sharing party.
It's all on the up and up. I'm sure this is a family show. Any other Twins news? Otherwise, I think we should begin our preview section of the podcast and make some bold predictions or not so bold predictions for what we think is going to happen here in 2015.
Yeah, and just for the record, this is probably my favorite segment of the year. I love when we do these preseason predictions of winners and losers and all that other good stuff. So it'll be.
Yeah, and just so you know, in the first draft of our prediction segment here, Jay Korn picked Yu Darvish to win the AL Cy Young and Jose Fernandez to win the NL Cy Young. So Jay doesn't care about UCLs. He doesn't care if they're torn, if they've been recently repaired by surgery.
I was at work, and I didn't know if I was going to have enough time to finish this, so I just kind of sketched something out. I did not hear about the Darvish news. I just have been out of the loop a little bit more than I'd like, so I'll take the flack for that.
Okay, so
very nice.
I guess we will start in the NL, work to the AL, and save the Central for last. Does that sound like
sounds
a good plan?
Good.
Well, then we'll start with the NL East, where I think everyone has the Washington Nationals, who I think are probably going to be the best team in baseball this season. Everyone's got the Nationals winning.
Mm-hmm.
In the NL West, going across the country.
Real quick, you know, on the National League East, I really think it's going to be the weakest division in baseball. The Phillies are terrible. The Marlins are not going to be good. The Mets are going to be mediocre at best.
What? How can it be the weakest team in division in baseball if they have one of the best teams in baseball?
They have one of the best teams in baseball, but everybody behind them is just going to be, you know, just not going to be good. Not going to be good. The Braves aren't going to be good.
The Marlins are going to be good, Jay.
We'll see.
And the Mets are going to not be terrible.
Stan, Stanton's going to hit like 70 home runs, and they have a pitching staff that's halfway decent. And like you said, the rest of the division is junk. So the Marlins are going to be able to win games against some lesser competition, especially if the Braves are throwing Joe Benson in the outfield. And yes, the Marlins will be fine.
So moving on in the NL West, everyone has the Dodgers. No surprises there.
Yeah, I think just real quick on. Go ahead, Cody.
Well, I was just going to say that that's the race for first place overall in the National League might be interesting this year. I think the Dodgers are going to kind of be, you know, in control of that division out there in the NL West. The Nationals are going to be in control of their division in the NL East. So as we get closer to October and teams are playing for home field advantage and stuff like that, I think that will be that'll be an interesting little caveat at the end of the year.
Yeah, and then in the NL Central, it looks like most of us and most of the rest of the known baseball world have all picked the Cardinals to win in the Central, except for Jay. Jay's going out on a limb here with his first bold pick of the season, picking the Cincinnati Reds to take away the Central. I don't even think that the Reds are in the top three in the Central. I think that the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Cubs are all better than the Reds.
I'm going to vehemently disagree here. I think the Reds seriously underperformed last year. You look at some of these guys like Hamilton and Votto and, of course, Cueto. They've got a lot of really nice pieces. I think the Reds are going to surprise a lot of people and are going to be the surprises in baseball this year. I think they're going to win the NL Central.
This was my hardest division to pick in the National League. I strongly debated between the Cardinals and the Pirates out of all the divisions, it was the toughest one for me to pick. Went with the Cardinals and put the Pirates in as one of the wild cards. But I think this has been a very competitive division for a few years here now. And, you know, the Cardinals obviously have been making some strides and have made some moves this offseason to try and put themselves into a good position to win, bringing in Jason Hayward, who might be poised as he's entering, you know, it's a contract year for him. So he could end up playing very well for them. Their rotation set up fairly nicely. I think just maybe, you know, if some injuries were to hit the Cardinals and impact that pitching staff even more, then we could see another team squeak in like the Pirates or, you know, the Reds aren't going to do it, but the Pirates, maybe.
All right, you guys, I really think we need to talk about this for just 30 more seconds, all right? I mean, you have a rotation of Cueto, Homer, Bailey, Singrani, or whatever how the hell you pronounce his name is decent. Then you got that Chapman guy at the back of the bullpen. I love Mesoraco. I'm just looking at their lineup here. Brandon Phillips, Votto, Frazier, and Cozart all on the infield with Bruce Hamilton and Schumacher in the outfield. I mean, come on. The Reds are legit.
Jay, you're living a pipe dream. You're living a pipe dream.
That's fine. I'll live my pipe dream, and we'll talk as the season goes on. I'm actually changing my prediction. I think the Reds are going to be in the NL pennant race series to win to go to the World Series.
In the NL wild cards, Cody and Eric have matching predictions with the Marlins and the Pirates.
You know it.
I like that Marlins pick. I think it's probably just a little bit too rich for my blood, and I've instead put my money on the Pirates and the Padres. And anytime you're in agreement with Jay Korn, you know things are on dangerous territory. Jay's also got the Padres along with the Cardinals. So some interesting picks there. I think that the Marlins and the Padres are the fun picks there. The Pirates probably a safe bet.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but in all seriousness, I really do like the Padres. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. They've got some really nice pieces. I love Gierko, or however the hell you pronounce his name. They made some nice trades. They got some, what is it, Kemp, and they got a couple other guys in there. So Padres are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I picked the Padres more because I want them to win. I just don't know that they've done enough. They're going to be – I don't know how the Giants are going to be, but if history tells us anything, it's that they're bad in the even-numbered years. or excuse me, the odd numbers years, so we can just take a break on the Giants. But I just want the Padres to win. I love going down to Petco Park. It's a beautiful city, a beautiful stadium, and hopefully for the first time in a long time, they're going to have some good baseball on the field.
I mean, do you guys feel I'm just looking at Fangraphs win projections for this year. They have the Cubs being fairly high in the National League, like 84-78. Then the Padres right behind them. Then the Mets, the Giants, the Marlins down a little bit further down there. Any of those teams strike your fancy?
I was tempted to put the Cubs in over the Padres, and I think I picked the Padres because I like them just as much as I didn't want to pick the Cubs, just because I just don't want to. But it'll be nice right. That the NL Central, I think they have a legitimate shot at getting three teams in the playoffs and showing the rest of baseball that they are probably the best division in baseball.
They certainly are the best division, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if the Reds are anywhere near as good as Jake Horn thinks they'll be, then that's going to be one hot mess in the NL Central.
I mean, I certainly think the Reds are better than the Cubs. I would say that the Reds and Pirates are probably similar. You know, if you held a gun to my head, I'd probably say the Cardinals will win the division, but I really think the Reds will be there for deep into August.
All right, then let's move across.
Would you say that both Central divisions are going to be the most competitive?
Yeah, I would.
I wouldn't agree with that. I think that the AL West is going to take the crown in the American League, despite having a couple of clunkers in there.
All right. Hating on the Astros.
Why don't we go then to the AL West? And we've all got the Mariners, except for Erolf, who's not with us here this week. And he's picked the Angels, which I think is a pretty defensible pick. But I just—I mean, being out here in Seattle, I may be a little bit colorblind. But man, the Marlins or the Mariners look just stacked this season, and it looks like Taijuan Walker is going to be at the back end of that rotation. That's just going to bolster an already very impressive pitching staff. They picked up another big bat to go in their lineup, and they only missed the wild card by one game last season because of a terrible week to finish the season.
And I think. If you look at all of our picks, we all have the Mariners and Angels in the playoffs in some way, shape, or form. Except Jay has the A's in over the Angels, but we all know about Jay's picks already. So I think we're all in pretty close agreement that division might be down to those two teams. I mean, Oakland could sneak in there and has been pretty competitive in recent years, but they bet a lot on last season and. Traded away some of their younger pieces within that farm system. So they might have to settle for a third place finish with the two big guns fighting it out there at the end.
Yep, and then let's cross the country over to the AL East. And once again, Erolf is the outlier here with Cody, Jay, and myself all picking the Boston Red Sox, and they're incredibly deep. Offensively weaponized lineup that just goes, I don't know, they have like 14, 15 guys. They're going to be sending quality hitters to the minor leagues. That's just an amazing offensive lineup, and I think they're going to have just enough pitching to fend off what I think will be a fairly weak AL East.
I wish Eric was here to defend his pick because, I don't know, do you guys see the Orioles as the second best team in that division? I think that division is going to be gross no matter what, but I think I would pick the Blue Jays ahead of the Orioles.
I picked the Orioles to be one of my wild card teams there. I think that they're going to continue to be underestimated. I think their pitching staff is just it's full of guys that are three or four starters, no one really fantastic. I mean, Chris Tillman's probably their ace and he's no ace, but I think they've just got just enough. They're going to be healthy. I think Matt Wieters is going to only be expected to miss about a week of the season to get going. So I don't know.
I hope Chris Davis bounces back a little this year. I think that was fun when he was having, you know, those couple good seasons there and hitting some long bombs for the Orioles, but that's one guy that I hope has a bounce back year.
And they're going to need him to do that because they lost Nelson Cruz and his 40 plus home runs. So
where did he go? I forget where he went.
He's out here in Seattle.
Okay, that's right.
Did that other big bat for the Mariners.
Right. Yeah, you guys know I like the Orioles. I mean, I was on the Orioles bandwagon last year. I like them again this year. Unfortunately, I just don't find a spot for them in my predictions picks here.
And then we're all going to go to the AL Central here, where we have what I think is the boldest of bold picks and also some curious coincidence and agreement here from the other three of us. So,
yeah.
All three of us, save Jake Horn, picked the Cleveland Indians to win the AL Central. I was a little bit surprised that no one picked the Detroit Tigers. And Jay's living on a dream, shooting hope and dreams into his nose and living on rainbows and unicorns. And he's got the Twins as the 2015 AL Central champions.
Hey, you know what? If I'm the only person in the country that picks the Twins to win the AL Central, I'll have a nice September, October.
Jay, you're not going to be the only person because my little brother's 11 and he likes the Twins too.
This is kind of tongue in cheek. I do think the Twins are going to be a lot better than you guys think. I don't realistically seeing them win the division. If you held a gun to my head, I'd probably go with the Tigers, but I'm sticking with my Twins pick.
All right, and then in the wild card, we've got from Erolf, the Mariners and the Red Sox, which is very similar to what I have. I've got the Angels, and I had the Mariners winning, so we're flip-flop there. I've got the Orioles getting in, so I think Eric and I have pretty much matching postseason attendance there in a different order. Jay's got the Tigers and A's finding their way in, and Cody, you've got the Angels and the Tigers, so... I think we're pretty much, except for Jay, we've all got four of the five the same.
I can't believe that nobody picked the A's to get into the postseason. Have you guys not learned a lesson over the last 18 years that the A's are dangerous? They're going to be dangerous again. There's going to be moves made. The A's will be in the postseason one way or another.
I just feel like there's too many teams ahead of them in their own division this year. They just don't have it this year. I think they're in the middle of a rebuild. I like this team a lot better next year.
Well, the fault I'll find with you three is that I think you're way overshooting the Angels. I do not see the Angels performing nearly as well as you guys do. I know they have Trout. Pujols will probably have a decent year, but I'm just not convinced of the Angels' depth, and they really disappointed me last year. So I have no reason to put any faith in the Angels right now.
Okay, well... we're just going to agree that you're wrong and move on.
the MVP race is pretty clear cut for three of us. We all, Eric, Paul, and myself, all picked the same tremendous duo of Mike Trout for the American League and Giancarlo Stanton for the National League. I think if you were to look at the most of the people in the national media, those two guys would be the guys that would be leading the way for those, or the guys in the clubhouse with the lead as we enter the season. Jay's living on a prayer, living on the edge of things, and he picked from the National League Mr. Ryan Braun, which would be something, especially since he doesn't have the Brewers making the playoffs. And then Mr. Robinson Cano, which that might be an okay pick since most of us, actually all of us, have the Mariners in the playoffs, and three out of the four of us have them winning the AL West. So talk to us about Mr. Braun there, Jay.
You're telling me that I don't have the Brewers in the playoffs. None of you guys have the Marlins in the playoffs. Well, I guess one of you does. Two of you do, I guess, but... I think Ryan Braun is pissed off. I think the Brewers are going to be decent, maybe even a little better than decent. I think Ryan, if I was going to have, like a number, I don't know, 4 or 5 pick in fantasy baseball, I would pick Ryan Braun. And then Cano, just last year was not the Robinson Cano we all know and love.
Robinson Cano was fantastic last year.
The home runs were off.
He plays in Safeco.
I don't care. I mean, Robinson, either way, he's going to bounce back. He's got a year of familiar territory. You know, he knows his way around the city now. He knows his teammates. They probably have a little bit more protection in the lineup this year with Cruz and some other guys there. So I think Cano is just going to have a monster year.
I agree that Cano is going to have a good year, and I'm expecting Ryan Braun to bounce back a little bit. Hopefully that thumb should be healthy all season long. We saw last year that he had surgery and he just never really got that power stroke back. So I'm looking for Braun to bounce back and for the Brewers to be competitive with the Reds at the bottom of the AL or the NL Central. But Ryan Braun for MVP, those days are long and gone.
And again, I just go back to you guys over really putting too much weight into the Angels. I mean, you guys are the ones that are always talking about regression from year to year. I actually think Trout's going to regress this year. I wouldn't expect I expect a very good year out of him, but I don't think he'll have a year like he did last year.
Well, I feel like Trout can regress quite a bit and still be the MVP.
I don't know if the voters would vote for Ryan Braun, even if he had like a triple crown type season coming off the steroid issue stuff. Even if he were to even put together the best season, I think some of the voters would say, you know what, we're not giving it to you just to spite him.
That's a fair argument, and I could see that. As unfair as it might be, I could see that happening. But at least he'll be in the conversation, and it doesn't take away from the fact that I still think he's going to have a monster year.
All right. So let's swing over to the pitching side of things. A lot of similar names popping up here. Paul and myself are on the same page. We both have Clayton Kershaw. Obviously coming off the monster year last year, being back in as the NL Cy Young winner. Eric also picked Clayton Kershaw, but Paul and I also both picked King Felix Hernandez from the Mariners, especially with most of us having them in the, all of us having them in the playoffs and winning their division. Interesting picks there, and then the outliers then seem to be Chris Sale popped up on both Jay's list and Eric's list as the American League Cy Young winner. So that would be another guy out of the AL Central for the second consecutive year, with Kluber winning it last year, and then Jay also has Johnny Cueto riding that big red machine all the way home.
Johnny Cueto had a fantastic season last year. If I'm not mistaken, he's on a contract year. Let me double check that real quick. But I think Cueto's on a contract year. I think the Reds are going to be good. They're going to ride Cueto all summer. Cueto's going to have another 20-ish season.
Okay, that's actually not as crazy as some of the other things that you've said here tonight. So we're going to move then into our playoff predictions here to wrap up our prediction series. The NL Championship, it looks like we all have the Nationals going to the World Series, and most of us have the Nationals, or at least myself and my brother, have the Nationals beating the Dodgers in the NL Championships. Jay, you've got the Nationals over those Reds.
Nationals over the Reds in seven.
You're funny. And Cody, you've got the Nationals beating the Cardinals, which I think is the most likely occurrence besides Nationals over Dodgers.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to postseason, it seems like St. Louis always finds a way to get into that NL Championship series. So I think they'll rely on some of their experiences and get there over the Dodgers. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to touch on the Nationals real quick. I mean, I think we're going to see a borderline historic season out of them this year. All those Strasburg inning restriction limits and, you know, Harper being rested and taking it. It was all geared for this year. The Nationals saw this coming 2 years ago. I think they can – I'm not going to put a number on it, but they're going to win a lot of games, a lot. And it's not even going to be close as far as the National League East. And I think the Nationals should go to the World Series.
And who are they going to face in the World Series? In the AL Championships, Eric probably has the most unique choice here. He's got the Angels beating the Orioles, which I think is a stretch on both accounts, despite Mike Trout and all of his greatness. I've got the Mariners beating the Red Sox, which I think is probably the safe pick. Jay Korn, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your hats. Jay Korn has the Red Sox facing off against the Twins in the American League Championship season. with the Red Sox prevailing. And, Cody, you've got a much more sane prediction, Mariners over Indians.
buy your tickets now, right, for the postseason, Twins postseason baseball. It's coming. All right.
Red Sox in seven, unfortunately. I almost picked the Twins.
Let's jump in to our World Series picks then. Eric hates himself because he picked the Dodgers winning against the Angels. So all Los Angeles series and picks all the money out there in Dodger land coming out on top. The rest of us, well, Jay, you have the Nats beating the Red Sox. I have the Nats beating the Mariners. Paul, you rode that hometown, the Homer train,
and picked
the Mariners to come out victorious. I mean, there's a lot of winning going out there in Seattle if your coaches knew how to call a running play in the Super Bowl. But yeah, you could celebrate a different kind of parade there, even though you guys already had the Super Bowl parade a season ago. So.
All right, well, that wraps up our predictions for 2015. We'll step away from the mics for one moment, and when we come back, we'll be joined by the Displaced Tiger fans to take a preview of what's been going on with the Detroit Tigers. Talk to Contact Podcast is Brian Graves, the Displaced Tiger fan from Twitter fame. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Hey, thanks for having me back.
You know, you'd have to refresh my memory. Where exactly are you displaced from, and where are you displaced to?
I'm originally from the Detroit area, specifically Royal Oak, Michigan, and I'm living currently in Minneapolis.
How many games have you been to? Do you typically get to a year at Target Field?
Two or three. If I'm lucky, I get to about five or six. But sometimes time constraints and budget woes keep me from the ballpark.
Well, I'll tell you what. This year, you and I
should be easy to get in this year.
Yeah, hence my invitation. This year, you and I, we're going to get some upper deck seats on a Wednesday afternoon or something. We're going to go up in the Skyline deck and talk some Tiger baseball. How about that?
That works for me. You just named the time.
I'll do that.
All right, Brian. So why don't you start by recapping the offseason for the Tigers?
Well, it got a little weird. We lost Max Scherzer. That's probably the biggest loss. I think the Tigers were going to re-sign him for $30 million a year. So that's not that big of a deal. His numbers will be missed. And then Rick Porcello got traded to the Red Sox for Yoenis Cespedes, which is kind of a strange trade, but I kind of like it. I like Cespedes. I don't think that's so bad. We need the bat. We need the left fielder, someone who's proven that that can actually play the position, whether it's good or bad or ugly, which Cespedes can bring sometimes. But
it can also be great. I mean, there were two back-to-back games last year where he threw a guy out at home from the corner on a fly. It's insane.
That's what I love about him, because he's got that cannon for an arm, and he could. He can play like Delman Young, but he can throw 100% better. So,
well, I think he's gonna have. I think he's gonna enjoy hitting in Comerica. I think he's familiar with the league, so it's not like he switched leagues or anything. And I'm a little bewildered why people keep giving up on Cespedes. Every time I saw him with the A's, and even a little bit last year with the Red Sox, I always liked what I saw. He won the Home Run Derby that one year, so. I just don't understand the shuffling of Cespedes around the American League.
I think when the A's signed him, when they did, they actually got a reasonable bargain for him, and now I kind of figured the way that the A's wheel and deal, they were going to use him as a a bargaining chip to refuel their system. So I think that's what happened. They got a deadline deal for a stretch run with John Lester that didn't work out, and you know, the rest is history.
What I really want to talk about is Verlander, because I got to tell you, I was a little worried from what everything I, and we see him a lot, you know, here in Twins territory. So I was a little worried with what I saw from him last year. Kind of gave off that vibe of a veteran on the decline, and he seemed to be a little skinnier than I remember. The pop just wasn't there. That glare, that killer look in his eye, wasn't there. Give me the scouting report on Verlander here.
Well, from what I've seen this spring, and it hasn't been too much, and now he's on the disabled list for the first time in his life. So that's kind of a cause for concern, too. My feeling on Justin Verlander over last year was he did not get his usual off-season regimen, and he had core muscle surgery, kind of like Miguel Cabrera did. So he did not have his usual off-season workout. So he didn't come. I don't think he came into the spring last year 100%. The velocity of his fastball was down. It wasn't moving. It wasn't locating it very well. So I don't think he was 100% ready. I don't think he was unhealthy. I just believe he needed to get back in the groove. As the season wore on, he did get a little bit better. And now we see this spring, though, he's got a little bit of a, well, what someone called a tricep cramp, and I've never had a tricep cramp before, so that's kind of strange. You'll have to explain that to me too. But bottom line is, it's tight, and it's costing me a couple of starts to get the season underway. So we will not see him pitch against the Twins this week.
Tricep cramps are very similar to bilateral leg weakness.
All right,
from what I understand.
So you talked about the Tigers bringing in Jonas Cespedes, a couple other guys. I think Alfredo Simon came over from the Reds. Shane Green came over from a trade with New York. Tom Gorzolani came in. And then I think I want to say, isn't there somebody else that's new to the organization this
year?
There
is. And, yes. Simon came in from the Reds, and he worries me. I don't like he gives up a lot of home runs. I don't think he's that great of a starting option. You know, Shane Green is kind of raw. He's got some good stuff. He just needs to kind of grow into it. Anthony Gose is another new face the Tigers got from the Blue Jays this offseason. I've seen him in a couple games this spring. He's actually had a good spring at the plate. He's right now, excuse me, going to be used against right-handed pitching, since he is a lefty at the plate. What I've been most impressed about, other than his speed, he's got some stolen bases this spring. He's got a great arm. I've watched him gun down two guys in one game. So I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of great arms out in the outfield this season.
And of all those guys that they brought in, which one of them do you think makes the biggest impact for the Tigers in 2015?
I really want to believe Cespedes is that guy. If he can bring up his offensive numbers, he's in a contract year. He's going to be a free agent after this season. So hopefully that implores him to, just like anybody else in a contract year, bring up your numbers, whether it's power, average, or both even. But I think, For me, it's Cespedes. He's not the quintessential five or six guy in your lineup, but he's going to be just that, because he's hitting behind some good names right now. You got Miggy at number three, perhaps you hit Victor at number four, he's JD Martinez, who had a great year last year and has had a pretty solid spring so far this year, at number five.
The nice thing is he gets to play nine games at Target Field. And most of the Twins pitchers throw batting practice fastballs. And we saw in the home run derby last year what he can do with batting practice fastballs.
Yeah, he can hit the ball a ton, that's for sure. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him play on a regular basis.
One name you haven't mentioned yet is David Price. You'll have him for the full year. That's got to be encouraging. What have you seen from Price here in the spring, and what are your thoughts on him entering the season?
I haven't seen really much of anything from him this spring. I have not seen him pitch, but I'm very happy to have him around. I think he's going to be just fine. He's prone to the long ball himself, but he's an innings guy, which for me is very important with this Tigers bullpen. It's still, so if you can get seven or eight innings out of him in a pile of strikeouts, that's going to be very helpful. As far as him with the Tigers beyond this season, we keep hearing that they're going to talk. Well, they're not talking, then they're still going to talk. Who knows? Who cares? We'll worry about this year, and then the off season will be an afterthought.
You've got David Price cemented at the top of the rotation. We already mentioned Justin Verlander is going to start the season on the DL. You've got serious concerns about Alfredo Simon. But last year and the year before, we saw that the bullpen was the biggest problem for the Tigers, especially in the postseason. With all that's been happening with Scherzer losing and Verlander being on the DL, is the rotation now a bigger problem than the bullpen for the Tigers?
No. They still got three guys. Once Verlander comes back, you have Price, Verlander, and don't forget about Anibal Sanchez. Yeah, if he's going to be if you had a fantasy baseball team, he'd be a great sleeper pick. He had a pretty good spring himself. If he stays healthy, and that's the big if he can stay healthy for the course of the season, he'll be just fine. And I like him. Another guy who could strike out a bunch of guys. He's very, very much though injury prone, and that's the only thing that worries me. The bullpen is still a bigger problem for me than the rotation. A lot of teams can get by with those three starters. It'd be nice to have a decent fourth and fifth to go with it, but you're never going to set up your rotation like that year in and year out. So we'll take the three top tier guys we have there now, and the bullpen, well, there's issues there, especially with the back end.
You say that though, but I'm looking here at the roster, and for a bullpen that includes Soria, Nathan, and who else was I just looking at here?
Jabba.
Yeah, Jabba's a disaster too.
The best thing about Jabba is that he looks like a troll.
Well, you know, and he shaved that beard off last off. I don't know if he's going to grow that thing like he did last year, but to me, if it makes him pitch like he did last year, I hope he shaves every day. and then with Soria is going to be the eighth inning guy because Ausmus is insisted on using Joe Nathan as a closer, which for me is a problem. I think Soria had a better spring. He's got better stuff. He's younger. Probably doesn't have a fastball that's going to attack a lot of bats. He's got closer pedigrees, and he's just not being used that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'll sort itself out, and it'll be interesting to see that play out as the season progresses. The one guy, I wanted to talk about before we have to get run is Castellanos. I'm looking here at your 23 years old. I saw this kid play a couple times last year at Target Field. He's going to be in there every day at third base. Correct me if anything I say is wrong. Sometimes I make mistakes. But Castellanos, you're talking about fantasy baseball sleepers. For a guy that's going to be out there every day at a power position for a decent team, you got to like Castellanos.
Well, and it's Castellanos. Let's start you there.
All right. So, I didn't get very far.
It's the most commonly mispronounced name on the Tigers roster this side of Anibal. He had a decent year last year. He can cut down on some of the swings and misses. That'll really help. But at the bottom of this, it'll essentially be him at the bottom of the lineup, and that's kind of an interesting, problem to have. You got a guy with power that's probably going to hit seventh. So his defense is not great, but it's not an exact liability that will really cost at least this team right now. At the very, very least, he's gonna. I think if he hits 270, 280, hits a few more home runs, I think Tigers fans will be happy with that.
You mentioned so Castellanos there at third base. Are there any position battles that are you've been watching this spring? I mean, with Verlander going down, is there a battle for that fifth starter spot now?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know who's going to fill that role right now. I'm just kind of, you know, I think we're all kind of surprised that you know, Justin Verlander can show up on a disabled list anywhere. As far as other position battle, we already talked about the closer. Unfortunately, that spot's been filled. The center field, I mentioned Anthony Gost. We can't forget Rajay Davis is still on the team. So they're going to platoon out there. I don't know that they're battling so much for a starting job, but right now Gost had a great spring. Davis didn't have a horrible spring. And both these guys can run. That's a really nice thing, is you've got two guys that can run, are great base runners. One is much better at defense than the other, and that's why I would hope that Gost gets the nod more than Rajay. As far as everything else is settled, we have had some questions answered at catcher as far as the backup. We have Alex Avila, who is still coming back from a concussion or two from last season, but his backup looks like it's going to be James McCann. It looks like Brian Holiday has been optioned, which is great, because he couldn't hit a beach ball right now, and his defense is left to be desired as well.
Yeah, let me shift gears real quick. Tell us what we can expect out of Torii Hunter this year.
Well, if he plays like anything he did the last 2 years, you'll enjoy watching him boot the ball around out and right. And you might get him if he bats 270. Great, and the bat flips are still there.
Okay, so you mentioned James McCann, who I think is one of the better prospects in the Tigers organization right now, be getting the backup duty there in Detroit. Are there any other guys in the upper minors that you're looking to have an impact this season?
As far as impact, that's a good question. I would say no as far as impact. The few prospects I have, you know, sitting in front of me, Dixon Machado is a young prospect, shortstop, had a good spring at the plate. I saw him play defense for a few games. He's got some work to do there. I don't know that he comes and makes too big of an impact. Maybe they bring him up, you know, as a September call up. You've got a big power guy named Steven Moya, who spent last year at Double A. Hits a ton of home runs, also strikes out a lot. You know, not great plate discipline. He barely bat over 100. I think he bat 125 this spring, which is coincidentally was his on-base percentage too. So he's not walking any. Oh. He's certainly swinging. My thing is he's 6'7" or something ridiculous like that. He's a tall guy, which means he's got a giant strike zone. So if he connect, yeah, the ball's going to travel 600 feet. But if he's missing, well, he's missing more than he's hitting, unfortunately. But I don't know. I'm not the biggest prospect junkie in the world. But the whole system for the Tigers is a little depleted. Not like the Twins farm system, which is not depleted. It's very, very full and rich.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's flip the tables real quick. From your position, where do you see the? How do you see the Twins, and what are you expecting out of Minnesota this year?
I'm still calling for a 90 loss season. I don't think their pitching is very outside of Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes can do what he did last year. I think Twins fans will be happy that I think everyone was pleasantly surprised that he had the year that he did. I think if Joe Mauer can still produce at the plate, yeah, sure, he makes a lot of money, doesn't hit a lot of home runs, but that's not who he is. And if he stays healthy for an entire season, he can play to his usual ability. I think there's a lot of growing to do, and I think your 1 year with Torii Hunter will be painful, but I think those young guys named Buxton and Sano, when they when they come around next year, I think it's going to be a much different day, much different team.
All right, then, to get you out of here, we'll put you on the spot. How do you see the Tigers finishing in the Central, and how many games will they win?
Well, I still see them winning the Central. I still I don't see them winning, I would say, no more than 80. I'd say 85 to 87 wins. And that sounds like an ugly number to win a division, but with I think the White Sox certainly got a little better this offseason. They will be a much improved team. I think even the Indians might be a little scrappy. The Royals, who knows what the Royals do? They might regress a little bit, but it's one of those scrappy divisions. It's going to be a tough division. There's going to be a lot of close games. It's going to be a lot of close series, and I think that number there will ultimately win the division. Will be the Tigers? Probably. It's still their division to lose. I don't see them losing it this year. Maybe next year. We'll see. We'll see how the it all plays out.
And if they win the division, you talked about them still having three front of the line starters going into the playoffs. Then is there any postseason magic in this team?
Well, I after watching what they did against the Orioles last year, the starters did what they did. They did what they had to do. It was the bullpen that completely came unglued in pretty much all three of those games that they lost. So it's really going to depend on if the bullpen gets reshaped somehow during the season, if Joe Nathan is still on the roster. I said an over-under May 1st if he's on the roster then, because he's got virtually nothing left. And if he blows a few games to start the season, I don't think he's going to be around. So it's going to be interesting to see how the bullpen holds up. If the postseason magic happens, they'll hit the ball. The Tigers will hit the ball. They have plenty of guys to do that. It's just a matter of keeping the opposing team off the bases themselves.
All right. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us here on the podcast. Is there anything always you wanna pimp out or let fans know where they can find you?
Well, I will post a lot of pictures this season. I started a Tumblr blog last year to basically tell myself I can still blog if I want to. I just got to find the time to. But I will do a lot. I did a lot of pictures. I did some pictures from a trip to Cooperstown this off season. My first trip there, and I threw a few pictures up there. So I will post those on Twitter. But yeah, I will do a little bit of writing on my Tumblr blog, which is the Displaced Tiger Fan. Other than that, look for me on Twitter. I'm happy to interact with pretty much everybody who comes my way.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. And, while I can't say go Tigers, hopefully, Verlander's arm doesn't fall off, because when he's right, he sure is a joy to watch pitch.
Well, thanks. I think everybody will agree with that. And, I love power. You know, power pitchers are great. You know, he's going to have to remember, though, he's getting a little older. So maybe you tone down on the velocity while still finding some movement and making sure that curveball still works. You don't snap off your tricep while doing it.
Thanks again to Brian for joining us on the Talk to Contact podcast. Now that Brian's gone back to the displaced Tiger land, we're going to take this chance to go around the world with our beers. Jake Horn, what are you drinking?
I am truly going around the world. I have had a couple of weak showings the last couple episodes, so I wanted to come back strong this week. And I went to Holland's. I went to Holland for a good old-fashioned Heineken. I've had three, and they are tasty.
Alrighty.
Okay, Cody, what about you?
I am having from the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company their Ruthless Rye IPA. So since it's a rye-based IPA, it still has that hoppy flavor to it, but a little bit more, a little grainier, I would say, you know, with the rye background to it as well. But and I think even the hops that they use add, you know, a little bit more. You still get a little light citrus flavor to it, but overall, it's not too bad.
Not my favorite IPA by far, but nice one to have just to mix it up.
All right, and I'm redeeming myself from not having beers the last few weeks, and I'm drinking the Two Beers Cold Brew Coffee Brown Ale from the Two Beers Brewing out here in Seattle. It combines two of my favorite things and two of the things I love out here in Seattle, coffee and beer together. I'm usually not a fan of the darker ales, but this one actually is delicious, and it's very coffee and dark brown, and it's just a very nice brown color with just this beautiful little tiny bit of brown head on the top, and it reeks of coffee in a good way. So
cool. That sounds good. I'd like to try that.
Okay, well, come on out.
It sounds gross. I'm not going to try it.
Okay, before we get to the Around the League segment, I received a couple of questions from the Twitter machine, and I will take this first one to Jay Korn, our resident Joe Mauer expert. So Annie Johnson from Twitter wants to know, will Joe Mauer ever Joe Mauer again? Hashtag money sign, money sign, money sign.
I mean, when you talk about Joe Mauering again, you're talking about some seriously historic seasons that nobody in baseball has ever produced. So it depends on what your definition of a Mauer-esque season is. I think he's going to hit close to 300. He'll hit double-digit home runs, hopefully play 80% of the games, and be, you know, a top 8-6 first baseman defensively. I think that's about what you can expect out of Joe Mauer at this stage of his career. I think he's going to hit a lot of doubles. I'd like to see 12 to 16 home runs out of him. I think that would be a successful year. I know that's asking a lot.
Is asking a lot, but we heard Bruno just last week talking about he's been working with Mauer on, instead of poking a single the other way, letting loose a little bit and pulling a ball. So I think that 10 home runs is probably a little bit of a high prediction, but I think that that's reasonable. I think 16, maybe that's you living on hopes and dreams, but if you expect the Twins to be in that AL championship game, then we're going to need to see Joe Mauer like he used to Joe Mauer when he was still Joe Mauer.
You just take the pressure of being behind the plate, every day, catching some bad pitchers. So I think that helps. I mean, he's got a whole year of first base under his belt now. I think with guys behind him, even if it is Hunter and Vargas and guys like that, I think that provides some element of protection for him. He's always got a good walk. You know, I mean, we saw some strikeouts last year that kind of worried me. So I think that's one thing to keep an eye on is not only the number of strikeouts, but the type of strikeouts. But I think Joe Mauer will have a very good year, certainly better than last year, at least noticeably better.
The next question up, I'm going to take this one. It's from Giles. He wants to know what kind of cat videos should he watch during Target Field, while at Tiger Field, during rain delays. And I think that the answer to that is any kind of cat video is the right kind of cat video to watch during a rain delay. And the last... Paul, you have a comment here.
No, I'm speaking of questions from the internet. I showed my wife your picture on Facebook, and she had multiple questions. Where the hell is he? What is he wearing? And what is with his hat? Why are there eyes on it? So those are the three questions.
Well, for those that don't know, I was up at the Tulip Festival in northern Washington, where they grow tulips, the Skagit Tulip Festival. They just have fields and fields of just colored. It just looks like you're walking in a rainbow. Very yes. Awesome. I was wearing a black t-shirt that had a cat that was in outer space shooting laser beams out of its eyes. Super
and
awesome.
Farting rainbows.
Yeah.
He's farting rainbows.
And then also I was wearing a Chattanooga Lookouts cap with the C and the two eyeballs on it. So
yeah, that I put together.
Yeah. I was able to explain that part. The rest was...
And then, Cody, I have one question for you. What is the number one most curious move made by the Twins this offseason or over the course of spring training? And that's from Blues in Baseball.
I don't know. I think most of us are pretty upset that Mr. Nunez might end up with a roster spot here. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have any options left, so that might have been expected. I think maybe Malone in the fifth starter spot over some of the other guys that we talked about, it might also be questionable. And we question their bullpen choices as well. So we've touched on a lot of things that I mean, not completely on board with as this team enters opening day. Even the Hicks thing. But I'll go with, I don't think Eduardo Nunez belongs in the major leagues, even on this team.
I agree, and I think the most curious move, I would agree with you, I would even take it back a step, and I think the fact that they entered into arbitration with him was mistake number one, and that's just, now we're getting down to this crunch time, and I feel like that mistake could lead to them rostering him, and then we're just talking about compound errors here. It's going to get ugly.
For me, it's the Trevor Mays situation. I was really disappointed that they sent him down. I thought he earned a spot on this team. I think when you have a young guy like this, Trevor Mays seems to be a thinker, a sensitive type guy, I think this could really shake his confidence at a time when he's when that's exactly the opposite of what you want. So I think sending Trevor May down to AAA in favor of Tommy Malone was not only a mistake, I think it was a big mistake.
Yeah, and I think the jury is out right now on that one, depending on whether – I think most fans would agree with you, but we'll see what happens with production here. If Tommy Malone can actually pitch to a league-average ERA to start the season, it'll take a little bit of the sting away. But with that, we're going to move on to around the league and take a look of what's been going on in the rest of baseball since we've been away. And I'll go first. The thing that's probably – this is the most disappointing news of the week for me, and that's Carlos Martinez found out this week that he's going to earn the fifth rotation spot for St. Louis. And I'm super bummed because I had picked him up in a fantasy league because I feel like he provides a lot of value as a reliever, but I feel like as a starter he's going to be mostly junk, and I have already unrostered him from my team and made a waiver claim.
Nice. I think we all talked about how high we were about the Nationals and their situation, and they're seeing some question marks. Denard Span won't start the season playing. Jason Wirth won't start the season playing. And one guy that was kind of like a sleeper pick for maybe even being in the MVP conversation, Anthony Rendon, their third baseman, had a solid rookie season last year. Was projected to have an even stronger season this year, is dealing with a knee issue, is going to see Dr. James Andrews about that, but is going to have to start the year on the DL after their original thinking was that it was only going to be, a few days that he was going to be out for. So it keeps bugging him, and definitely something that could hurt their chances, especially if some of those other teams we talked about earlier, if the Marlins were to catch fire, or even, a team like the Mets with some other pieces, Cuddy's my buddy. He could do some magic in Mets land. Did you guys?
I saw what you did there. Yeah, that was clever. Well, no, for me, it's the Chris Bryant being sent down. I thought for sure he was going to spend the opening day with the Cubs. I think he deserved it. I mean, the guy was just mashing the ball. He was the talk of baseball. Cubs are in a position now where they could really use some excitement in the fan base and the crowd. I think that, a lot of us think the Cubs are going to be good. I think Chris Bryant only makes them better. I think he's, same thing kind of with May. I think this could have damaging effects on his confidence. I mean, maybe not. I mean, I don't. But I think Chris Bryant should have. I would have liked to at least seen Chris Bryant start the year with the Cubs. So for me, that was the biggest news of the week.
Yeah, and I think just some other former Twins news. We had a pair of pitchers been released by their teams this swing. Kevin Correa, like Scott Baker before him, was unable to make the team out in Seattle. And Scott Baker also was released this spring by New York Yankees. So it's kind of exciting to see that the guys that couldn't even handle pitching for the Twins have also not been able to pitch somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I guess that's something. At least the Twins are doing something right by not rostering those guys any longer.
Well, you know what? These are just two recent examples and two good ones to point to when you're talking about the wiseness of Terry Ryan. There's been some other ones that we've talked about in this podcast before. Loesch, Garza, there's been other ones. Even Liriano and some of the, even Worley. I mean, there's been some guys. But, yeah, I mean, to see Baker and Correa released was a little satisfying.
Okay. Well,
yeah. One other interesting thing I wanted to touch on just quick is the Phillies moved Ben Revere to left field because you obviously want a light hitting, no power guy in left field, right?
Yeah, with no arm.
Yeah. Scares me. What I mean, the Phillies are going to be bad anyway, but
The Phillies are going to be bad, and you know what? Yeah, maybe they're onto something though. Maybe Revere. I mean, he's got a lot of. He's kind of like. One of these corner outfielders that can cover a lot of corner ground. So I don't know. I don't know offhand who's playing center field for them, but maybe they were a little bit worried about the range out there. And Revere can certainly cover some territory. So we'll see how that goes. I think it'll be just fine. Although, you know, it was strange. That's for sure.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us here on the Talk to Contact podcast. Thanks for sticking around and joining us here for one more episode. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, right around opening day. For Erolf Pleiss, I'm the Baseball Pirate. Go Hoyas. And Jay and Cody, thanks for sticking around and digging this one out with me.
Thank you, buddy. It's been fun. I'm thinking sideways instead of up. I should have given up, but I refuse the selfish urge. Resolve right now, 'cause I've never seen you the same way.